Romans 6. What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? By no means. We are those who have died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of God the Father, we too live a new life. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we will certainly also be united with him in resurrection like his. For we know that our old self was crucified with him so that the body ruled by sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. Because anyone who has died has been set free from sin. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe we will also live with him. For we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, he cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over him. The death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. In the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its evil desires. Do not offer any part of yourself to sin as an instrument of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and offer every part of yourself to him as an instrument of righteousness. For sin shall no longer be your master, because you are not under the law, but under grace. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks, Steph. Good morning, everyone. Well, like I say every time, keep your Bibles open at Romans chapter 6. We're picking up there in a sec, but let's pray. Let's ask for God's help as we come to his word. Father, what a joy it is to be able to come to you, to your word. We pray that you would speak to us now. Open the eyes of our hearts, Father. By your Spirit, do a work in each one of us present, that we might see what it is to be in Christ Jesus, that we might delight ourselves in him and live it out to the praise of your glory. Amen. Well, I don't know if you've heard the story of the two boys who were camping and they encountered a grizzly bear, obviously not in Australia. They were around the fire and they heard a rustling in the bush, and all of a sudden this grizzly bear was coming towards them, and one of the guys just bent over and started putting on his shoes. And the other guy said, "What are you doing? What are you doing putting on your shoes?" He said, "I don't need to outrun the grizzly bear, I just need to outrun you." That was a joke, you're allowed to laugh. What about the story of the man who purchased a white mouse to use as food for his pet snake? He dropped the little mouse into the glass cage. The snake was sitting in a bed of sawdust and the mouse had a big problem on his hands. What was he going to do? He went about covering himself up with the sawdust. And in that, the little mouse thought that he had solved his problem. Every problem needs a solution. And up to now, in Romans, we've had one big problem and one big solution. If you've been with us, you know what the big problem is. The big problem is this: there is no one righteous, not even one. There's no one who understands, no one who seeks God. All have turned away. The big summary is Romans 3:23. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. That's our problem, isn't it? We've worshipped and served created things instead of our Creator God. And if you don't think that's true, just listen to a couple of slogans from TV ads. This is one of them. It says, "The most important person in the world is you." Another one: There's nothing more important than securing your future. But my favourite one is one from the UK for Radox bath mineral salts. Do you know that stuff? Apparently it's really good stuff. But here's their slogan. Be selfish, use Radox. There you go. It's not just ads though, is it? It's in our hearts. Who's the first person you look for in a photo? It's you. Who's the first person you wake up in the morning thinking about? It's you. I am the most important person in my life. We've all sinned. We've all fallen short of the glory of God. That's the big problem. And we know the big solution, most of us who have been here for a while or been Christian for a while, comes from outside ourselves. What was the solution to the little mouse who covered himself with sawdust? The solution came from outside his realm of experience. The owner took pity on him, reached in, grabbed the little mouse out, and saved him. And that's what God does with us. Absolutely nothing we bring, God does it all in Jesus Christ. The big solution. So here it is. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified freely by what?
His grace.
Exactly. Through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. The big solution is that Jesus comes and dies on the cross for your sins. The righteous one, Jesus. For the unrighteous one, us. And that is purely grace. You don't earn it. There's no way you deserve it. It's free. It's a gift. You just accept it by faith. Now, a friend of mine, I told him all of this over quite a long period of time as we were in uni. And he's a clever guy and he understood grace. And he said to me, Matt, if that's the case, if God completely forgives me by grace, He forgives all my sins, no matter what I do, I'm going to be completely and utterly forgiven. Then why don't I just keep do whatever I feel like? Just keep on sinning. That is the question that Paul answers today. Did you see it? In chapter 5, verse 20, Paul has said, where sin increases, grace increases all the more. And now he answers the obvious question. Have a look in chapter 6, verse 1. What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? Last week I told you the story that I was watching a documentary on, I said whale sharks, and then I said sharks, and so my wife corrected me. It was a bunch of sharks eating a whole bunch of herring, and, you know, ferocious looking sharks. And then this huge humpback whale comes in, 12, 13 meters, and just gobbles up all the little fish, the sharks go scattering around. And that is God's grace. It gobbles up all our sin. If that's the case, can't we just keep on sinning that grace might abound? I'm going to be forgiven anyway if I sin. Paul addresses that directly, and this is the big idea of the passage. If you're a Christian, you are dead to sin and alive to God. Have a look there at verse 2. Shall we go on sinning that grace may increase? By no means. Absolutely not. We died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? You see, a Christian is someone who is dead. If you're a Christian, you're dead to sin. In a real sense, you have died. Your old self is absolutely gone. So we're going to look at this in two ways. What does it mean to have died to sin as a Christian? To be dead to sin and alive to God. Firstly, we're going to look at it theologically. What does it mean between you and God, us and God? And then we're going to look at it practically. What does it mean as I live out our life? So let's have a look theologically. What does it mean? I once met a guy who claimed he never sinned. He said to me, Matt, I don't need God's grace. I never sin. Is that what it means, being dead to sin, that we are immune from it? We no longer sin. Well, I think we can rule that out. I see a few sinners in the midst, and I know my own heart. The Bible says if we claim that we are without sin, we deceive ourselves and make God out to be a liar. So So we can discount that. It's not being dead to sin doesn't mean you don't sin. What does it mean? Well, let's have a look. Verse 3. Have a look there. Don't you know that all of us who were buried in, are baptized into Christ Jesus, were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into his death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of God, we too may live a new life. And if you if you start thinking he's talking about water baptism here, he tells you what he means. If then we have been united to him like this in his death. That kind of this baptism language, we'll get to it in a minute, but it's talking about union with Christ. If we've been united with him in his death, we will certainly be united with him in his resurrection. So Paul's saying, if you're a Christian, you've been united to Jesus Christ, to his death and resurrection when you came to Jesus. That's how you die to sin. Jesus' death is applied to you. So baptism here, it talks about, is not talking about the sprinkling or the dunking or whatever you like to do. It's not not talking about water baptism. It's talking about conversion. See, he uses baptism and united to Christ interchangeably. That's why verse 5 explains it. For you were united to Christ. So being baptized into Christ Jesus here is when you put your faith in Jesus and united yourself to him. You become a Christian. At that moment, Jesus' death and resurrection was applied to you. Beforehand, it wasn't applied to you. It was true and real and happened, but it wasn't yours. It's a bit like an inheritance. The riches are there, but they're not credited to your account until you're given them, until someone dies. You know about the inheritance, but it's not effective in your life. It's not yours until you receive it. That's what being united to Christ, baptized into his death and resurrection is. So when you become a Christian, at that moment, you unite yourself to Jesus. His death becomes yours. His resurrection becomes yours. And at that moment, you die. At Easter, I used this example, but I'm going to use it again because it's really fitting here. So imagine you're at the airport and you're going to Sydney. And there's the plane, there's you, and there's Sydney. What is the relationship you need with the plane? Do you need to get under the plane? Submit to the plane's authority? Probably not. What about if you're inspired by the plane? You're at the airport, you watch the plane take off, and you go, man, one day I'm going to do that. What about if you followed the plane? You know the place it's going to Sydney, and you'd like to go to Sydney too, and you see that it's going that way, and so you get your runners on, and off you go, follow the plane. No, you don't need to be under the plane. You don't need to be behind the plane. You don't need to be inspired by the plane. You need to be in it. So if you're in the plane, what happens to the plane happens to you. The question of did you get to Sydney becomes a bigger question of did the plane get to Sydney? If the plane got to Sydney and you're in the plane, then what happens to the plane happens to you. That is being united to Christ Jesus. What happens to Jesus happens to you. Isn't that amazing? When you unite yourself to Jesus Christ, his death is our death. His resurrection is our resurrection. The word for union with Christ, united or in Christ, is like super glue. Super gluing yourself to him. What happens to him happens to you. I find that amazing. Did he die on the cross for your sins? His death is your death. Did he rise to new life? His resurrection is your resurrection. And so Paul can say, Christian, not just Christian, all Christians, you died. Paul now outlines three implications of this for us. Firstly, your old self is put to death. Did you see that? I noticed Jenny Craig has launched a new men's section in her thing. It's called Gen for Men. Not sure, do I need it? No, not yet. I said last week, I really like the before and after stories, the success story, seeing the kind of big people turn into the kind of trim and healthy people. And a friend of mine did that. I can't remember what if she did a weight loss thing, but she was quite large in high school, and then actually the thing she did was she just started walking, and just walking and walking and eating healthy. And after a year or so, she lost a bunch of weight, and it was like she was a new person before and after. Verse 6 tells us we have the same thing, an old self and a new self. Can you see it there? Have a look. 4, we know that our old self was crucified with him so that the body of sin might be done away with. Our old self is crucified. But that's not quite right, is it? It didn't say that. What did it say? Our old self was crucified. It's a past event. When Jesus died, he put death to death for us. That sinner, that person you were without Jesus, is dead. He crucified it. If you're a Christian, your old self isn't just gone. They're dead. So why do you want to keep living the old life? Like 2 Corinthians says, you're a new creation. The old has gone and the new has come. If you've been washed clean, you don't go back and roll in the dirt. You're a new person. Secondly, you are no longer a slave to sin. Did you see it? Verse 6 keeps going. For we know that our old self was crucified with him so that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin, because anyone who died has been freed from sin. So not only does Jesus take the penalty for our sin, but he takes the power, cuts the power. We're going to have a bit more of a look at this in next week in the second half of chapter 6. But for now, can you see? Sin is no longer your master if you're a Christian. You have the power to say no to it by the Holy Spirit. You can say no to sin. I find that amazing. The power has been cut. Like power lines attached to your head, cut. You're free from the mastery of sin over you. And thirdly, you will live with Christ. Keeps going. Have a look. Verse 8. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we will live with him. For we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, he cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over him. The death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. Just as Jesus' death is our death, Jesus' resurrection is our resurrection. We are united in his death. We are united in his resurrection. And as certain as Jesus was raised from the dead, so will we be. So that changes everything, isn't it? Shall we continue to sin that grace increases? By no means. Don't you know you've died to sin? You are not under the plane. You are not inspired by the plane. You are not following the plane. You are in the plane. What happens to Jesus happens to you. Imagine for a second you are my friend who was a large girl in high school and trimmed down. She was a new person. Do you think she would stop exercising and then hit the lolly shop? 10 pizzas a day. No. Do you think if I've been washed clean, then I'd go rummage around in the dirt again? No way. We are a new creation. So let's finish up. Let's have a look at what that's theologically. You're in Christ Jesus. What about practically? Paul has some really helpful little things to say to us. Have a look there at verse 10. The first thing to do is to recognize that this is true for you. Have a look. The death he died to sin once for all. The life he lives to God. In the same way, do what? Count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God. Is this true of you? If it is, Paul is telling the Christians to count it true of you. Make it true. To count yourself is to consider yourself, to see yourself, to take it on board. Make it your life. If you don't think this is true of you, then sin is still your master. Your old life has not been crucified with Christ because you haven't allowed Jesus' death and resurrection to be applied to you. Most of us here have done that. But Paul is saying, count that true of you every day. Wake up and count it true. Make it true. Secondly, verse 12, look there. Don't let sin reign. Gets very practical now. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its evil desires. The question for us is, do you let sin reign? Are you allowing yourself to live a rebellious lifestyle, to live a life as if it hasn't got Jesus in it? If someone looked at your life or my life, would they see Jesus in it? Are you trying to do what my friend did? Keep on sinning so that grace might be abound. God will forgive me. No, that's not who we are. That life is dead. And we're alive to God. When sin rules someone, they just do whatever they want. The motto is, it's my life, I'll do it my way. It's Bon Jovi, it's my life. Letting sin rule is not Christian. Sin doesn't rule us. Jesus does. So count yourself dead to sin. Don't let sin rule. Thirdly, offer your body to sin. Don't offer your body to sin. Sorry. Woo! Strike that. Let God speak this word. Have a look at verse 13. Do not offer the parts of your body to sin as instruments of wickedness. I'm glad you're all awake. This is practical, isn't it? What's that saying? I've got hands, I've got eyes, I've got ears, I've got a brain, I've got feet. He's saying, do not offer these parts, these things, as instruments of wickedness, to sin. So practical. What am I using my hands for? What am I touching? What am I using my eyes for? What am I looking at? Be careful, little eyes, what you look at. What am I speaking about using my mouth for? What am I thinking about using my brain for? Are you letting sin rule the parts of your body? Don't do it. Don't offer the parts of your body to sin. Rather, last one, offer yourself to God. Verse 13. Rather, offer yourselves to God as those who have been brought back from death to life. Offer the parts of your body to him as instruments of righteousness. For sin shall not be your master. You're not under law. You're under grace. Offer these bits of yourself to God as instruments of righteousness. How good is that? I use my brain, my eyes, my ears, my mouth, my everything as an instrument of righteousness, because that is who I am in Christ Jesus. I am no longer a slave to sin. I'm a slave to righteousness. And there's freedom to be had in that. What do you speak about? What do you look at? What do you walk towards? What do you seek to grab? Use your body, your life. Live the new life. That is who God has saved you to be. If you're a Christian, you're dead to sin. It has no mastery over you. Your old self has been put to death. You are no longer a slave to it. So, recognize that is true. Count yourself dead to sin and alive to God. Don't let sin rule. Let Jesus rule. Offer yourself to him. And live out what God has saved you to be. Let's pray. Father, we thank you and praise you for giving us such clarity on who we are. We thank you and praise you that you have saved us from sin and death. And you have killed off death in us and sin in us. That we might now live a new life in Christ Jesus. May we consider ourselves, count ourselves dead to sin and alive to you through your Son, Jesus Christ. And as we go out, may we offer the parts of our bodies to you as instruments of righteousness, because sin is not our master. We're not under grace, under law. We're under grace. May we live under Jesus Christ to the praise of your glory. Amen.
Thanks, Matt.